We'll begin with a prayer. Holy Spirit, we ask that you guide us now as we read another section, very precious words which you've given us for the salvation of our souls. We pray that you open our hearts and make them receptive to what you have for us, and strengthen our faith in our Savior as we grow in grace and knowledge of him. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Acts chapter 12, verses 20 to 25, Herod taken down, or a better theme, a blade of grass. So it happened on a set day. It was to be a special occasion. The king rose up early in the morning to get a good start on the day. He dressed well for the occasion, putting on his royal apparel to impress his subjects. He sat upon his throne, and looking down upon them, he began his prepared speech. The Jewish writer Josephus put it this way, and try to imagine the scene as it unfolded. Josephus: on the second day of a festival held in Caesarea in honor of Claudius, Herod Agrippa put on a silver garment of wonderful texture and entered the amphitheater early in the morning. When the sun's rays shone upon his garment, the brilliant glare caused his flatterers to cry out, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." For Herod Agrippa, it was a perfect beginning to a precious day. It didn't last. The words had scarcely left his mouth when immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. So the day which began in the amphitheater finally ended up, later on, in a cemetery. And the word of God was fulfilled, Genesis chapter 3:19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So a little information on how this whole thing started. After the death of Stephen, there was a great persecution of the church at Jerusalem, and the believers scattered in different directions. Saul led in persecuting the Christians. He invaded their homes and dragged them into prison. But it was not only Saul. Also, King Herod began to persecute the Christians as well. This is Herod Agrippa I, a grandson of Aristobulus and Bernice. He is also the grandson of Herod the Great. The prison Peter was kept in was very likely located in Herod's palace and was kept under heaviest guard. Four squads of soldiers guarded the place. Herod had heard how the apostles had escaped from prison earlier, so he put Peter under the heaviest guard. One set of four soldiers rotated every 6 hours. He was going to have Peter executed so the people could watch. He would do this on the day after the Passover and would duplicate the execution of Jesus. This tells us something about Herod Agrippa. There were people from far and near, so this would be impressing to many of the Jews. Herod had made detailed plans to make a strong impression on the people. Remember Haman in the book of Esther? The Jews had a rule not to do judgment on a festival day. They broke the rule at Jesus' execution. Now they wanted to do it again. Such hatred. So God allowed James and Stephen to die despite all the prayers of the people. and there was a blessing in it for them. But God had special plans for Peter. So now to continue the story, the last we heard of Herod after he had killed the guards when Peter was not found in the prison, he, Herod, went down from Judea to Caesarea and there abode. And now the text. Herod was highly displeased with them of Tyre and Zidon. But they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain and their friend, as their friend, he desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. Luke now takes us and gives us the opportunity to tell us how God punished this persecutor of the church. Caesarea was a part of Judea, but the Jews regarded it as a Roman rather than a Jewish city. Herod the Great had built it in honor of Caesar Augustus. That is why Luke distinguishes it from Judea. There was no Roman governor at that time, so Herod Agrippa used the city as his capital. Being on the Mediterranean shore, it was cooler in summer than Jerusalem was, kind of like air conditioned. There may have been other reasons having to do with his relationship with the Jews that made him prefer Caesarea. So Tyre and Sidon were two Roman free cities in Phoenicia. They had depended upon Galilee for grain and olive oil since the time of King Solomon. When there was a quarrel between those cities and King Herod, their food supply was in danger. So they tried to mend the breach with the help of Blastus, probably bribing that official to intercede in their behalf. And now you know the rest of the story. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a god and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the kingdom of God lived on. The word of God grew and multiplied, and Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark. There are some very precious lessons in this short account, and we would do well to ponder them. The sudden, complete destruction of Herod Agrippa in the height of his glory should be of great comfort to every child of God. And when in our own trials, we should look to God with the eye of faith instead of what we can see with our human eyes. But sometimes it's hard to remember to do that. That dark night in Gethsemane, when Peter saw Judas and the armed mob coming to take Jesus captive, he drew his sword and started swinging away. But he was looking in the wrong direction. Jesus, in effect, told him to look up into heaven. Matthew 26, verse 53, "Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he presently shall give me more than 12 legions of angels?" A legion was a company of 6,000 soldiers. Jesus informs Peter that all he, Jesus, would have to do is speak a word, and his Father would send 12 legions of angels into Gethsemane to settle the matter. If we're counting correctly, that would be 72,000 angels. The eye of faith sees things so differently than the human eye sees things. That's a lesson. A few lessons for us. Number one, God's eternal power. And we think of Romans in the first chapter, beginning at 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. This is talking to everybody. Every human being. Heathen, not accepted. For the invisible things of God are from the creation of the world clearly seen. What are they? Being understood by the things that are made. If you look at the creation, you can learn a lot about the Creator. And even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So this is what is called natural knowledge of God. The knowledge of God that everybody can have from looking at nature. It's not enough to save anybody, but it is enough to condemn if it's rejected. What everyone should do is see the power and majesty of God in the creation and then seek to find Him. And if they seek, they will find. But they don't seek. And many times they worship the creature more than the Creator. We should not make the mistake that Satan and his children make. When we look into the heavens and see the countless numbers of stars, when we stand on the shore of Lake Superior in a storm and witness huge waves crashing the rocks at our feet, but not getting our feet wet. When we look into the sky as we stand on Hawk Ridge and see the thousands of hawks migrating south every spring. When we stand watching a barn burn down to the ground, but we can't get closer than a block away because of the intense heat. And in many other ways, we see the power of God, and no man can do anything to condemn against it. So that's rule number one. Number two, a blade of grass. A blade of grass. When Goliath challenged the army of Israel to send a man down into the valley to fight with him to the death, what Saul and his army saw with a human eye was a giant, armed to his teeth with armor, a shield, and a spear. And they were all scared half to death. What David saw when he looked with the eye of faith was a blade of grass. And he conquered with a sling and one smooth stone from the brook. And we can't help but think of Psalm 92, verse 7, which reads this way. When the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. So when we see these powerful people, these powerful heathen people, we should look with the eye of grass, of faith, and see a blade of grass. When godly Jehoshaphat saw a great multitude of enemy soldiers surrounding his city, and when he looked the situation over with his human eye, what he saw was terrifying. He had no chance. But when he looked with the eye of faith, it was a completely different story. What he saw were some blades of grass. 2 Chronicles 20, verse 12. Our Lord God, O Lord God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do. That's looking with the human eye. Now look with the eye of faith. But our eyes are upon thee. Have you ever noticed the number of times that God compares powerful heathen generals of an army, a mighty army, to grass? It's all over the place. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 24. For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man as the power of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away. So these guys aren't nearly as powerful as it seems like they are. They're more like a blade of grass. James 1 verse 11, for the sun is no sooner risen with the burning heat, but it withereth the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace and the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall be the rich man fade away in his ways. We all know the story of the rich man and Lazarus. The rich man looked so strong and powerful. He had it all. Good health. He had all the money he could buy whatever he wanted. He lived in lavishly every day. He had it all. But it turned out he was just like a blade of grass. And it ended up where he didn't even have one single drop of water. Precious water. And he didn't have a drop. Psalm 92, verse 7. When the wicked spring up as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. And you know how fast in the springtime a little spring shower and the grass grows up overnight. And God allows that. But it's only so they can be destroyed. We could go on and on and on with this, but as we close, let's look at a few passages from the prophet Isaiah. And of course, the theme is a blade of grass. Isaiah 40, verse 6. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. Next verse, Isaiah 40, verse 7. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. God destroys them by blowing on them with his Spirit. A little breath, the word. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Isaiah 44, verse 4, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. Isaiah 51, verse 12, I, even I, am he that comforteth you. Who art thou that thou shouldest be afraid of a man that shall die, and of the Son of Man which shall be made as grass? So when you see these wicked people, who are you that you should be afraid of them? So often we are. At first glance, it's terrifying. But they're just like a piece of grass, a lonely blade of grass. And what harm can they do to a person? A blade of grass. They can't do anything. Psalm 92, verse 7. When the wicked spring up as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, what's the end of it? It is that they shall be destroyed forever. So Satan and his wicked ones, as powerful as they look to the human eye, are no more than a blade of grass when we look with the eye of faith. Exhibit one this morning is Herod Agrippa I. We should remember that.